Hello and welcome to another All About Swimming podcast, but it's a bit different this time because it's the All-Star edition. I'm at Nokia World with a whole bunch of people from other Nokia and N-Series websites, Symbian Freak, Into Mobile, Symbian Guru, Mobile Burn, and some of the All About Symbian team. Yay! Yay! And of course, I've just been prodded by Darla to remind myself that there's DarlaMac.com here as well. They're all great sites. Go and visit all of them every day or else. So I think the first topic of conversation that we're going to do is Nokia World. And my question for everybody here is, what was the best or the coolest thing you saw? And no repetitions.
Ewan Spence here, of course, from All About Simeon with the crowd here. Most exciting thing about Nokia World, like, apart from the horribly cliquey answer of, isn't it great to have the community of websites around here? The thing that it got me is the music announcement, and we're going to talk about that in more depth and the implications that the basically all you can eat for a year music is the one that's such a game changer in the platform. Tarek.
The best thing from Nokia World I thought was Ovi. It's very exciting. We didn't get to learn a lot, but we got some screenshots, and I think that's great.
Ricky Cadden here, Symbian Guru. Coolest thing that I saw was the Nokia Research Center was showing a technology that they're toying with called, I forgot what it was called.
Point and find?
No, it was followed by gaze. Basically, it's a pair of glasses that follow where your eye is looking. And the example that they had was a picture that you could kind of not moving your head but move your eyes around, and it would zoom in on where you were looking. So really cool. Looking forward to seeing that implemented in future years.
Hi, Stefan here from IntuMobile.com, and the coolest thing I saw at Nokia World was the 7900 Prism, just for the sheer fact that I never knew that you could change the color of a keypad arbitrarily through a menu.
Hi, it's Noel from All About Symbian. Coolest thing I saw was probably the beach volleyball at the after party.
And how much sand have you been picking out of your body in day two?
None, I just watched.
Okay, we'll leave that one for the imagination. I'm so glad this is a podcast and just audio.
I'm Christian, also known as Chaz Lam. I think the best part for me was Darth Vader and the Star Troopers.
Yay! With Stormtroopers,
sorry.
Oh my god!
It was...
And what was your favourite thing?
It's already been said. Anyway, has it been said?
Okay, next!
It's Mohanad from Melbourne. I think the coolest thing I got to play was the 8800 Arte. Yeah.
8800
Arte.
That's what I said.
The 8800, yep, right.
Carry yep.
On. Yeah, this is Vinu from Symbian Freak. The coolest thing would be like web server on our mobiles. It trains Apache web server. That's the best thing I have seen. Like, thank you.
Theo, next.
This is Martin Britton, known as Marty Free from Symbian Freak. I think the coolest thing I've seen was definitely the Conjured Music thing. I think that's going to be really good for the future phones and that for Nokia. And also find out that the up-and-coming Touch UI is going to be backward compatible on software. So all software for the third edition now will be installed and completely compatible with the Touch UI. I think that's pretty cool as well.
Hi, Murray Winniata from Symbian Freak Forums. For me, I think the most exciting thing was probably the point to search application. Awesome stuff. I'm sure you read more about it.
Hi, this is Bikami Hai from Symbian Freak. And the two things that impressed me the most was the Nokia announcement regarding the Nokia accounts with music and the Nokia Touch UI of the phones that are supposed to be launched in 2008. Thank you.
Okay, and our final to Brainbox, Carlo.
Thanks. Sorry, Rafe, but I think the best things I saw were probably some of the Series 40 devices I played with. I think that that operating system and interface has come a long way over the last few years and leads S60 in a lot of ways now. So that's good to see.
So we'll stay with that very briefly. Say you had something like the N95, but you had it running Series 40 and just Java applications available. Would you default back to that, or would you stay with the Series 60, Carlo?
Well, I think it's sort of for different markets. The Series 60 interface, I think, works for a geekier crowd, perhaps, early adopter crowd. and with all the functionality of the N95, it would be maybe be a little difficult to get some of that working well with only Java applications.
Okay, let's throw that out as a... There's lots of ads to that, but we have missed out Darla again, so mustn't do that because I like life.
Oh, first thing that I'd like to say that I did enjoy about Nokia World is the fact that we all got together. Some of us have networked for years without actually physically seeing each other. Mm-hmm. So that was very positive. And
connecting people.
Exactly. That was a very positive thing for me. The second thing, as far as the demos went, what was exciting was the demonstration of the mobile journalism.
And this is the one they're testing with Reuters.
I believe so, yes. And the concept is, for, you know, from the blogger's perspective, is going to be something that's well rewarded and well accepted, but there wasn't that many details on when and how and why, but it was just fascinating.
Okay, so we had the general point there from Carlo, which we'll come back to now, the sort of differentiation between Series 60, Series 40, and marketplaces. Look, we got the question right in the quiz, okay? Right, so anybody wants to jump in on this one, do feel free. We'll hit the music one in a second. Tarek, you had one first, yeah?
Yeah, regarding the S40 devices, the thing I noticed was the Essentials range from Nokia, where they go back to their old I don't know what the word is. Their old their old roots of, you know, really good, solidly built devices, which are reliable, have a good, strong UI, no bugs. Like, you know, anyone who's used S60 when a device has just come out, you just get used to. Yeah, great build quality. And, you know, it's a phone for life. You know, it's well-built. I remember, you know, the old Nokia business phones that I had when I was a kid. And
6310.
The 6310, exactly, Carla, thank you. The 6310, which I dropped out of a car. I dropped into the sea, I think, at least twice, and still worked. And when you have some of the fashion phones, which feel like you could break in your hand, I think it's good that they've got back to that, you know, that real, really core business that they used to have.
Okay, Stefan.
For me, it's all important to have all my information at a moment's notice, and the out-of-box experience for Series 40 is highly superior to S60, in the sense that you can record phone calls, there's a countdown timer, there's a stopwatch, in the log you can see much more detailed information. One thing that I love is that when you receive a SMS on a Series 40 phone, it actually says who it's from. That's something S60 hasn't done for how many years now? So it's the small things that add up, and I seriously wish S40 had multitasking.
Okay, Rafe.
So I actually agree with all you guys that Series 40 is actually a better out-of-the-box experience than S60, but I would say that S60 is an open platform, and openness is the future. And so while it is something that's technology leaders are more interested in, S60 and S40 is better for consumers at the moment, I think that will change over the next 5 years as S60 becomes more mature. But I would agree that there's a lot of Series 40, some of the applications that ship in it, for example, like a stopwatch, which a lot of people like, but there's nothing in S60. And I hope we'll see that addressed in the future. To sort of move on to a different topic, going back to the music that was announced here at Nokia World, I'm kind of curious to get people's reaction on that, whether they'll actually use it, what they think of the fact it's, you know, DRM'd, and what their current music experience is. Do they see them changing to that? I mean, how big a game changer is this?
I mean, I'll let everybody else pitch in on this before I do, but it certainly, I think, is at the game-changing level. Stefan? No. Ricky?
I'm Ricky. One thing that I think is cool about it is it's definitely going to set the Nokia N-series and music devices apart in that when users are going to get those devices, they're going to have a year to build the habit of knowing that they can get online anywhere with their phone and download the track, or they can go, that's the experience. And, you know, it only takes like 2 weeks to build a habit. And having that opportunity for a year will definitely, if nothing else, build a positive experience with them between Nokia and music. And that's something that I think that Nokia very much values.
So question, and then we'll come on to Stefan. There is going to be DRM of some form involved with Windows Media Audio. General question to the group is, do you think that having that DRM, even though people like us could make quite a bit of fuss about it, do you think the end users and the end series devices are going to care, or are they just going to go, we've got a year?
Well, for that question, I'm going to say that a majority of the tech support issues involve DRM. People are trying to transfer stuff from their phones to their computers to their friends' computers, and they honestly can't. To quote Ricky, it takes 2 weeks to build a habit. Well, you know what? I've been pirating music for about 5 years, and that's not going to stop anytime soon because I get higher quality, faster speeds, and music that's not only by Universal.
I mean, but that is yourself. But I think the play that they're making here isn't to edge cases like us. It's to the sort of 80 to 85% of the market. It's to people that want music from Universal. And you have to assume that Warner, Sony, and Sony BMG, and t'other one are going to be involved at some stage as well. So this isn't aimed at us, I feel. I think this is aimed at that mass market so that the major labels can continue to be the elephants in the room.
Well, I think that in the future, the major labels have no role in the marketplace at all. People should relate directly to their artists, and the record labels have to just die.
Meanwhile, back in the real world, I would just say that I think you have to see DRM as something that's necessary to get this kind of subscription service off the ground, and clearly the trend is to go DRM-free in the long term, and it's going to be a matter of just flicking a switch to turn Comes With Music into a DRM-free solution. And if it gets Comes With Music off the ground, this is going to be something that really changes the way people think about the way they buy music. You're going to get music as a in-cost with the device, and I think for most people that will take away the sort of thought of piracy because it makes it so easy. I don't think it's perfect, but I think it's a step in the right direction. And in terms of what's going to work in the real world, I think that's what's so exciting about Comes With Music. It's the first time I can recall in terms of digital music something that I've generally gone, wow, that's going to make a change.
Tarek?
I'm going to be annoying and put out a question rather than an answer and say, how many normal users, I mean, all of us here are, you know, professional users. How many normal users actually understand DRM? Do they understand that they can't send something to another phone because of DRM, or do they think it's a device issue?
People don't necessarily understand DRM, but they understand when things don't work and don't work the way they want them to and expect them to. That's what they don't get.
But do they get that it's a DRM issue, or do they think it's a device issue?
Doesn't matter. It just doesn't work, and it's not good enough. But I think the DRM may be less of an issue because if it works on the phone and it works on the PC, it's not going to be a real problem.
That was actually I would say that, you know, given your question, I would say that it's probably not a big issue. Most people, when they use their music, are either going to use it in home or on a mobile device of some sort, be it an MP3 player or a phone or whatever. So I think that the idea of DRM to us sounds kind of ludicrous, but to most consumers, they're probably not even going to notice that it's there.
I mean, the numbers that were given out in the keynote on Tuesday at Nokia One World were that of the industry's devices that can access the Nokia Music Store, 20% of those users, 1 in 5, have registered with the Music Store. And of that, 1 in 4 of them have actually downloaded onto the handset. So the question might not be, you know, do they get DRM? It's whether the DRM is now at a subtle enough level that for the majority of cases, it doesn't matter. But throwing questions out is good. We're going for a discussion here. Let me throw another one out here. The announcement of Comes With Music was in the middle of Nokia speech and the Kino, we're doing this thing with music, Kino. Do you think if that announcement had been made by Steve Jobs and Apple, we would see a different reaction on the internet?
Absolutely. I think that, and I've actually had this conversation with somebody previously this afternoon, of, you know, they were kind of saying, oh, well, it's got DRM this, it's, you know, it's just not as cool of a announcement as you think. And I said, well, at the same time, you know, if Steve Jobs said, okay, starting next year, every iPod purchase is going to come with a year of free iTunes, well, everybody would be kissing his feet and calling him God. So I think that, I think that when you take into account the market that this is targeted towards and the users that it's actually targeted for and the purposes behind it, then I think it's cool. It's obviously not designed to completely eliminate piracy by any means, but like Rafe said, I think that it's definitely a step forward.
I actually think that if Steve Jobs was on stage next week and announced that from now on every iPod you purchase will have 1 year of free music, the entire Apple community would go insane, because there are some people who have invested a lot of money into their MP3s, and for you to just come out and smack them in the face and say, hey, from now on it's free, you are A, degrading artist credibility, saying, oh yeah, what you produce is a commodity. And second of all, B, you're telling people that what they're investing was a complete waste.
Surely as a commodity, I mean, there are bands out there such as U2, such as Iron Maiden, to take two examples, that do regard the music as a commodity. And they regard the concerts, the merchandise, the t-shirts, the Dealey Boppers, but maybe not in Iron Maiden's case, that the music is the commodity that gets everything in.
I'd like to say I don't actually agree with that at all, because people have been buying CDs for years and paying, at least in the UK, at least 15 quid for something that's imported. And, you know, they haven't complained about being able to buy them cheaper online. And if you give them, you know, a way to get them even cheaper, I don't think they're going to complain about that. They're not going to say, I paid this amount before. They're just going to see that I'm going to pay nothing for a year, rather than bitch about their past purchases.
Well, with the new consumers completely, they're going to be excited because free is much better than 99 cents per track. But what about all the hundreds, million iPods sold, those people who bought iTunes tracks? That's a lot of customers.
What about the million people who bought an N95 and then an N95 8 gigabyte was released? I mean, it's part of the industry. You know, I mean, things like this happen. And would the person 2 years ago... I'm sure they would have bought the music had they known it would have been free 2 years later, because they needed it then.
And, you know, the question could also be thrown around, what are you going to do at the end of the year? It seems to me that while the major music labels get to be an elephant in the room, Nokia have got an inbuilt U-turn after 12 months to us, because you want another year.
I actually was able to talk to some of the music guys, and they informed me that at the end of the year, then your music store experience goes to just the pay-per-track model that's going on right now.
But, you know, if you want to have another year of download as much as you can eat, you've got to buy yourself another handset. And I'm sure that handset schedules will be set up to be, there's just another one coming into range now.
Talking of handsets, I know one of the things people always want to hear about from people who have been to these events is what they think of the devices. And we've all had a chance to use the N82, the N810 and the N95 8 gigabyte. So maybe everyone would just like to say a quick word on a particular experience with one device that they've really enjoyed or not enjoyed at all.
Yeah, hi, Murray from Symbian Freak. Had a bit of time with the N82, and it's interesting because I still do prefer the N95, but I really thought that the Xenon Flash wouldn't make that much difference for me. But at the Nokia World party last night, one of the other bloggers was standing beside me with his N95, and he just couldn't really take photos in the low light conditions. If he was in night mode, the tiniest amount of wobble just produced a blurry mess, and often it couldn't actually find focus, whereas the N82 was just fantastic all night.
My favorite device, unfortunately, wasn't an N-series device. It was the Nokia 6500 Classic. Well-built aluminium body from a single piece of aluminium. Works fantastically well. Has distribution pack 5 of series 40. Which, you know, has a great home screen, very, very similar to Series 60, and just works a hell of a lot better.
Well, I'm Stefan from Into Mobile, and I've had the N82 since the product launched in Finland, and I think everyone here is saying the same thing that I've been... Yeah, I know, I stink. But the same thing I've said, I'm hearing everyone else say, that the Xenon Flash is amazing. We are back to candy bars, which is what we were raised on, and it's just... fantastic to have a phone. Now, yes, the screen is smaller, but other than that, does anybody not like the N82?
I don't think it's a case of liking the N82. I think it's liking other phones better. I still prefer the shape and form factor of the N95. Okay. Hand on heart, I still prefer the shape and form factor of the 7650, because, you know, I like something that can be used as a lethal weapon in Scotland in the middle of the night. Rafe?
I'm sure someone else has got something to say about devices, but... it's also the interesting thing I got here. There seems to be a much better range of devices now in the N series to fit sort of all range. And one of the things I like most about the N82 is you can sort of see it as a replacement for the N73. And that's been a really popular phone. It's not a direct replacement necessarily, but it's the same form factor. It's the same size. And people traditionally like buying a phone that's like that. And I can see them buying that because it's got a great camera and then discovering all the other stuff on it, like N-Gage, like Nokia Maps. I think I'd probably agree. My personal favorite device is still the N95 8 gigabyte because I do like the bigger screen. It's a shame that it doesn't have a memory card slot, because I'd rather have a memory card slot than big internal memory. I don't know if anyone else has got an opinion on that. I think Noel's nodding over there.
Yep, I'm absolutely all for removable memory. I don't really see the point in sticking to just a block of 8 gig. It's a pointless exercise.
Ricky Katten, Symbian Guru, back again. I actually had the first chance to play with the new internet tablet, the N810, and was really, really impressed with the just overall experience of that device. Coming from the N800, it's definitely smaller, and it just feels a lot better, a lot more refined. And it's really been fascinating for me to see from the 770 to the N800 to now to the N810. It's very neat to see them refine the product.
Tarek from TarekEsper.com. I did say my favorite device is an S40 device, but if I had to choose a Series 60 device, the E-Series...
The evil looks from the PR people. You're okay on that.
Exactly. One world where, you know, giving me evil looks. But the E-Series, not the N-Series, the E-Series E51, I thought was another great device. Great build quality. Again, going back to the candy bars that we were brought up with, as Stefan said, I know it loses the S60 swirly key. I think the home key is, you know, has a broader appeal for the mass market. And again, a solidly built device, good software. I didn't manage to crash it at all.
Yeah, I was sort of walking around with other people like Jay, and we were looking at some of the other devices, and we thought that at the end of the day, the non-N series devices were the most well-built. I think it was the 5610, wasn't it? We were having a play around on that, and the slider felt really solid, and everything about the phone felt solid and compact. And when you compare it to the N81, you know, it was in a completely different league, and I think that's a bit of a shame, seeing as sort of the N series device are there. More top-end devices compared to sort of the lower or mid-range music phones, what seem to be better build quality.
Hi, Murray from Symbian Freak. I just wanted to touch back briefly on the microSD issue. It's just a point of interest that I actually put my own 8GB card in the 6500 slide, and it only registers 4 gigs. It actually doesn't register the full 8 gigs, so probably correctable the firmware upgrade if that's possible on S40. Someone else can answer that. But interesting.
We're coming close on time. Rafe's got a final point on that one.
No, so actually I was going to ask the final question, which is the really nasty one as ever. It's everybody here is sort of really into the sort of device and N-Series. So my question is, what would be the one thing you'd like to see added in either hardware or software to the current N-Series? So what do you want in your next device? And I'm going to start off with the easy one by cheating. And I say I would like USB charging in the devices so that I can charge from the USB cable.
What everyone here is probably identifying, what's certain for me, is that in the next lot of N-Series devices, can we have build quality, please? Can we have metal construction?
Yeah, this is Vinny from Symbian Freak. I would like to see the first one is RAM, right? I need better RAM. The second one would be better screen. I don't want this crap QVGA resolution forever.
The more RAM, and definitely a big, nice big QVGA screen, I think we need as well. So, yeah.
I'm Hunted from Mobile Learn. Maybe something that looks better, kind of like the 8800... exclusive range, yeah, something that looks more like a stylish phone than a multimedia computer.
Jay from Mobile Burn, the thing I want in the maybe next N-Series is it? Dedicated camera buttons, like dedicated macro button, dedicated flash button, dedicated switch from video to stills buttons. I want better battery, need more battery life.
But it was one thing.
Okay, I'll just switch that. Fine.
So basically, rather than a Jesus phone, you want a God phone, yeah? Yeah? Okay, not going to happen.
Chaslam here. I know this is going to sound stupid, and I know everyone at the LA event already knows I want this, but I really want wallets back. I used it so much, and I really miss it.
Well, if I had to choose one thing, it would have to be a higher resolution screen. I'm honestly tired of QVGA. Oh, I can choose two? Yeah, Ewan is informing me I can choose two. Number two would be please improve the build quality. These phones cost 500 euros and they feel like absolute toys. Yep.
You can say crap if you like.
Well, I'm refraining myself. It's a podcast.
Okay. Ricky Cadden again. I would say probably my number one thing is I'd like to see some more innovative form factors for the N-Series. I know that the E-Series has phones such as the E70 and the E90 that are pretty innovative form factors as far as, you know, other manufacturers go. And I would like to see some of those kind of form factors come to the N-Series. Mm-hmm. And probably the other one I would agree is just the battery life. You know, I've had as many of the phones I can think of, and the ones that keep coming back are even the ones that have the better battery life. Even if it may not have the killer features, if it can last through the day, then that's worth more to me. As far as that goes.
The two things I'd really like to see from N series are just small things: digital SLR camera and a free naked woman. No, I'm just kidding. The one thing I would really like to see from S60 is to see the interface itself get cleaned up. I think it's a real mess, particularly when you get down into the settings and things like that. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And I mean, don't want to harp on about Series 40, but I feel like the things are presented in a much better way, a way that makes a lot more sense on that. Things are just much more clear. The interface works the way a user expects it to, instead of expecting the user to make a change in their behavior.
This is Tarek again. I'd like to add to Ricky's comment on form factor and add the E61 in there as well, because that's something a kind of form factor I'd like to see in N series. But the feature that I'd like to see is basically related to security. A lot of times when I speak to people about near-field communication and about using your device as everything in your life, storing your credit information and everything else. And I think something like fingerprint technology would help. You know, a simple fingerprint scanner, I mean, it's been on phones in Japan for a while now. It's a cheap bit of technology, and it's a very simple way for, you know, a single person to get access to the stuff on their phone.
The two things that I think should be changed for me, and hopefully in the future, is no more reverting back to 2-megapixel cameras. Seriously, I mean, you brought out the newer device, but you threw a 2-megapixel camera in there, and that's just not, you know. And a second thing, and I think today and yesterday, being out amongst the demo floors and in the proximity of Bluetooth, I would like to see finally, and if it can be incorporated, I would like to see the return of the sensor application for N-Series or S63rd, because today that would have been, I mean, there was Bluetooth messages going out throughout the floor. I don't know if everybody received them, but that needs to be brought back.
Yeah, just what Dara just picked up on, like the sensor application, that would have been an ideal application to have on your phone on an event like Nokia World, like we've been to the past couple of days. Like, everyone could be communicating with each other quite simply, like.
Okay. I'm going to chuck to... Oh, Carlo's got one more. I'm going to bring myself in.
One more thing I'd like to see would be some of the software differences between the N-Series and the E-Series disappear. Like, just the fact that, you know, you can't get BlackBerry software on an N-Series. It's frustrating as a user when it's just a software difference, but it's not made available or it's not made possible. So that sort of thing gets frustrating because, I mean, I understand the point of market segmenting and product segmenting, but... You know, users of E-Series devices, you know, have a life after 5 o'clock, you know, and users of N-Series devices have jobs. Well, some of them anyway. So seeing some of that crossover would be good, and not forcing people to make these really tough decisions and sacrifices between devices.
I mean two for myself, and then we'll come to the closing section. First one, on a personal point of view, I love a proper microphone socket, purely because I do so much podcasting in around. A good microphone recorder, so I can plug my own microphone in to one of these multimedia devices. They do video capture to do filming, they can do audio capture, we can already get them on headsets. I just like something that allows me to put something a little bit more professional in there, so if I'm going out on the radio or streaming off the internet, I can get a good quality sound out of them. The second one is to do with the PC suite. If I press backup, I want everything backed up. I want where my icons go. I want my preferences. I want the applications that are installed on the C drive. It worked in Symbian 6 and 7. It stopped working now. I really wish that backup restore was a genuine backup restore, not backup restore and then put everything back and right in the right place in the menus and install your applications again. And I do hope you took a note of them because you can't remember what they were.
So we've had loads of great stuff there, and I just think I'll add one final one, is I'd actually like to see some of the software and service promise of OV as soon as possible, because that's really going to change the way we use our devices. So I'm sure there's been loads of great things here. If anyone's got anything else to add, please send them in or comment on the various blogs. Of course, people here, we've got dialamac.com, ewanspence.com, tarekesper.com, mobhappy.com, symbianguru.com, Into Mobile, Mobile Burn, and Symbian Freak, and some others as well. And please go and visit all the sites. And thanks to everybody for helping us out with this podcast. And it was great to meet all you guys. And one of the things I most enjoy about this is meeting other people. And for everybody listening to the podcast, know that we're all bestest buds. One of the best things is actually the conversation. And hopefully this conversation can continue as you continue to respond to the blogs, to send us feedback. And that's one of my favourite things about being part of the Symbian or the N Series community.
Okay, and obviously we've got a small smattering of websites here. There are a lot more Symbian websites out there. There are a lot more Symbian webmasters, bloggers, forum, community people, people who just enjoy the device. We know you listen, you don't leave comments. please leave comments. All of you out there listening, be you the manufacturers, the makers, the candlestick people, the village people, the users, all the websites that are here, all the websites that aren't here, you make everything in these handsets what it is. You're the ones that keep these company afloat. So if you stopped buying and didn't like them, they'd be dead. So there you go. Thank you very much for listening to the podcast and making sure that Rafe and I aren't dead. And of course, if this podcast is on any of the other websites, say thank you to them as well. But for now, for your time, thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the All About Symbian podcast, www.allaboutsymbian.com. Copyright 2007.